Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to have a special guest. We're going to have Carl Teichrib of ForcingChange.org. Forcing Change, it's an internet-based magazine. You can find it at ForcingChange.org. But Carl Teichrib, very interesting guy. I had a lot of fun recording this. I'm going to read right off his website here, but he says, Forcing Change is an information/intelligence porthole designed to document and analyze the religious, social, governance, and economic agendas, movements, and initiatives that are now radically shifting Western civilization. Forcing Change seeks to inform and educate its members via its featured professional publication, Forcing Change, and through the other materials within the Forcing Change website. Now, the first time I heard of Carl Teichrib, I heard him on Brandon House's show, Worldview Weekend. And as many of you know, I listen to that show quite regularly. There's just so much good content on there. Well, Carl Teichrib seems to be an expert in so many different areas. One of those areas we're going to talk about tonight, and that would be the worldview, the belief system of Freemasons. Now, like I said, I've heard him on so many different podcasts. So he is oftentimes a guest on many different shows. He also writes many articles on his Forcing Change website. A little bit about him that you'll find on his website. Carl Teichrib has authored specialized reports in over 125 articles on globalization and its many subtopics. I'm getting deep now, guys. He has been an accredited observer and/or participant in a variety of international events, including the United Nations Millennium Forum, the UN Third World Urban Forum, Global Governance 2002, and other major global conferences. Guys, he's got some very fascinating information. And so going on, Carl has held memberships in key organizations centering on foreign affairs, regional issues, security/intelligence studies, and macroeconomic concerns. He's given lectures across North America, has been a guest on various radio talk shows, I've heard a bunch of these, and has received several distinctions, including an honorary doctorate. He is currently president of the World Systems Research Group and a senior fellow with the August Review. That's augustreview.com. And so, yeah, Carl Teichrib doesn't just research these things online. He actually immerses himself in it. He attends these various different meetings. And as we're going to talk about towards the end of this podcast, he attends a lot of these transformational festivals. He goes to these different places, these transhumanism meetings, various meetings where this stuff is going down, and he quietly sits and learns. And then he brings it out to the world and basically reports what he sees. So he's not just spouting this information because he read it on another blog site. No, he was there, he sees what's going on, and then he reports on it. And so anyway, today, yeah, we're going to be talking about the worldview of Freemasonry. Carl Teichrib has had many interactions with Freemasons, as you're going to hear in this following interview. Anyway, yes, he's a wonderful brother in Christ. Let's go ahead and jump right in with this. So, Carl Teichrib, welcome to the Youth Apologetics Training Podcast.
Hey, it's good to be with you. Looking forward to the show.
Awesome. So, friends, today we're going to go down a different trail. We're going to be talking about Freemasonry. Now, I've had so many of you have contacted me and wanted to hear about this subject, and I've been so reluctant for the longest time to talk about this because there's just so much tinfoil hattery out there around the subject of Freemasonry. And what can you trust? What can't you trust? And all these conspiracy theories and things going on. Well, in this interview with Carl Teichrib of Forcing Change, we're going to talk about the worldview of Freemasonry. What do they believe? What is it that they teach? Now, in the past, friends, I've had the opportunity to actually talk to one real Mason once. Okay, one time I got to talk to a Freemason. I witnessed to him, and believe it or not, he actually died just a couple days later. He was healthy as a horse. He was teaching Taekwondo, and I got to talk to him. gave him the gospel. A couple days later, he picked up the Olympic torch on the edge of Fort Collins, Colorado, and ran about half a mile and dropped dead. That's my only opportunity to speak with a Mason. But I know a lot of you out there have friends, family members, moms, dads, cousins, and such who are part of this group. What do they believe? And the interesting thing is we're going to talk to Carl Tycrib today. We're going to find that they're going to agree with you and accommodate your faith as if it is a Christian organization. But as you get deeper, you find that there's something else going on. It's more universalistic. My goodness, easy for me to say, in nature. We want to talk about that. What do they really believe? And so, Carl Tycrib, you have rubbed elbows with Masons all of your life. In fact, as a youth, this was something that you crossed paths with Freemasonry so many times that it somewhat influenced your direction in your ministry.
Yes.
Can you start right there?
Oh, absolutely, Mike. Very much so. In fact, first of all, I'm just a regular Joe. I'm a guy who grew up on a grain farm in the prairies of Manitoba. And we have a small town that was only a few miles away from where my family farm was. And the town, the name of it is Gladstone. And all my life, I'd seen this building in our community, this building with no windows. And it had a square and a compass and the letter G. And I thought nothing of it. I always thought the G simply meant Gladstone. I'm young, I don't know. You know, that's, you see the building there, that's what it looks like to you. That's how you're thinking. When I was 16 years old, I had the opportunity of going with our church youth group on a camping trip. And we had some canoes, and we went to a lake that's right on the North Dakota-Manitoba line. It's called Lake Metagosh, or Lake Matagoshi, however you want to pronounce it. Depends on which side of the border you are. And we launched our canoes, and we went across this island that was located in one section of the lake. And we didn't know anything about the place. We're just spending the weekend, you know, having a good time together, doing devotionals, and just spending time with each other in fun and in fellowship. And as we canoed around to the west side of the island, there were two blue pillars and a series of 3, 5, and 7 steps leading up into the island. And we docked our canoes, and we saw strange symbols inscribed into the cement steps. And we walked up a path, and in the middle of the island was a clearing. There was a podium. There was a series of stone chairs. There was an altar-like object. And I had no clue what this was about. None at all. But it was very, very intriguing. Later on that weekend, I had a chance to go for a boat ride with a local state warden. And as we were zipping around with our group of guys, with the state warden, with the park warden, we asked, what is this all about? What's this island all about? He said, it's Mason's Island, and it's been in existence as a outdoor Masonic lodge for generations. And then he described that if we wanted to advance in society, we needed to look at joining the lodge. If we want to become a politician or a businessman or whatever the case may be, this would be something that we should look at pursuing. But you know what blew me away? I mean, I was 16 years old when we got into this island, and I see the square, the compass, and the letter G. The first thing I thought was automatically, Gladstone, why is my town here? Why is letter G out here, you know? I knew nothing at all about the subject at all, Mike. Nothing. And it wasn't until a few years later, I was a young man in my early 20s, when I ended up working for a healthcare program where all my board of directors were either members of the lodge or the women's auxiliary, the Eastern Star, or another one of a number of affiliated lodges that we had in our community. That's when I realized I needed to pursue a knowledge of what Freemasonry was all about, because at that point, I was being pressured to join the lodge, and I hadn't a clue what the lodge was about. And so for me, that's kind of my story, where things for myself really turned around, where I had to look into this, where I was forced into it, was during a supper meeting, two of my board members, and I believe they said this out of naivety or maybe to appease fears that I never had, after about an hour of not being able to convince me what they're really all about, because oftentimes, you know, it becomes very dodgy. What are you about? Are you about politics? No. Are you about religion? No. What are you about? We're about making good men better. Well, in the back of my mind, I'm a farm boy. I grew up, you know, grew up dirt biking and doing all kinds of things. I'm like, making good men better? What do you do? I would rather go out and at least help my dad on the farm or go biking or do something else, anything. I don't need to go to a stuffy business meeting to be made better. And that's when the hammer fell. And that's and one of the men said to me, he says, Carl, we're not Satanists.
Whoa.
And exactly, Mike, the warning bells are going off in the back of my mind because that thought had never entered my head at all. This is back in 91 or so. This is before the internet. This is before cable TV with documentaries on the History Channel, before any of that. And in the back of my mind, I'm going, what have you been accused of?
Well, that's not exactly a good sales tactic.
No. I mean, boys, you really did a lousy job on that, on the sales of that one, you know? And so I dedicated probably the next 3 to 4 years really intently going through the teachings of Freemasonry. Took a long time, but finding out who the historical authorities were, reading the commentaries on the rituals, getting the rituals, basically diving into it, and in doing so, you also end up diving into the more esoteric side. You realize that there is a wide range of thought and philosophy within the lodge, all the way from very benign, we're here to make good men better, all the way to the more sketchy side of esoteric doctrine and occult philosophy. And you realize through all that that the majority of the men who join the lodge simply do so because it's the thing to do, because their daddy did it and their granddaddy did it, or because it's good for business, without really understanding or pursuing what they're told to pursue, and that is they are told to pursue the light of the lodge. And that refers to the idea of exploring and studying Freemasonry and really digging deeply into what the craft, and that's how they call it, the craft, what it's all about. Most men don't do it. Most people who join a lodge are like the majority of people who would claim to be Christians. We go to church, we come home, we sit in front of the television after work, we pop our favorite beverage, and we don't think too much beyond that. I mean, that's how human nature works. And you'll find that also within the lodge, too, where the majority of men just, they don't really understand what they've done, even though they're doing it on a, possibly even a weekly basis. But there is a worldview behind it, and that worldview is evident in the rituals, it's evident in the historical teachings of the lodge, in their works of philosophy, in their works of history. And that is, and there's two aspects to that. And one is, it's universal, that all men of all religions can unite around the same altar, that you all engage in an act of worshiping the great architect of the universe, whether you call that that God deity idea, whether you call him Jesus, or whether you call him Allah, or whether you call Vishnu, it doesn't matter. You all operate in this idea of universalism. And the other idea behind this too, Mike, is the concept of perfection. That through the lodge, degree by degree, you're becoming perfected. You've gone from a rough, what's the right way of saying it, a profane individual, that's their wording, to becoming a perfected stone, a perfected brick that is put in the great wall of their worldview and what they look to accomplish. So those are the two things that I really ended up focusing on, was religious universalism and this idea that I could somehow perfect myself. And their own literature makes it very clear that this is a type of a salvation experience, a collective salvation encounter, where through my good works, through my rituals, through the obligations of the lodge, I will become a man of perfect standing. And I can hold my head up high, and I can proclaim my own deity. And this is something that a lot of Masons sometimes will even kind of shirk at. I had a conversation with a Mason last year, and he heard one of my talks at a conference, and I had just simply said Freemasonry in passing. And he came to me later, and he was like, what's wrong with Freemasonry? I'm a 32nd degree Mason. So we had a long conversation. That was one of the things I pointed out to him, that in your ritual work, you are working towards perfection, towards becoming a perfected individual within the greater collective good of your lodge. And he thought about it. He thought about it. And then all of a sudden his light bulb went off and he goes, you're right. You're absolutely right. And based on some material that I sent to him, including two issues of our Forcing Change magazine that deal with this topic extensively, from that point, he ended up renouncing the lodge and he left the lodge, which was great. That was fantastic. It was a choice he had to make. But when he realized that there's a worldview here that is antithetical towards Christianity, then a person has to make a choice. Do I continue on in it or do I leave it? And it's not easy to leave, but that is the right thing to do as a Bible-believing Christian.
Holy smokes. Okay, yeah, you brought up a lot of different roads I want to go down. Okay, I'm going to stop right there, friends. That was Carl Tykrib of ForcingChange.org. Check out his website. Tomorrow we're going to pick up exactly where we left off here today and just keep going with this interview. And so with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.